5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out of bad seat, broken ate a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad others, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Perella Palatia, right across the river into the woods from where Granny went to bed about an hour ago because she smoked too much of that satchel pidge of sour diesel again in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, ready to travel, some kind of fashion shake it up, should do, but all my friends that come around, flat to party, of rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, with a mess, tons of tatter, my brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake it. Ooh, hey, what's gigging? I'm Farrell with Carver High. The number to get on the bench is toll free, 844-843-6879. Again, toll free, 844-843-6879. Get you benched. So the Knicks 9-gamer is over. They lost at the world's most famous tonight by 8 to the Suns, 118-110. Booker had 33. And CP3 took the game over late with a couple of daggers. One of them from just beyond the free throw line on a step back in Randall's face. That was just absolutely off-balance, sickening shot, lucky prayer, teardrop. But it went down, and then he came down the next time he had the ball and did a little jab, step, drag to his left and popped a three ball from about 25 feet. Boom. He finished with 20. He had 5 boards, 6 dimes, 2 threes, 8 of 12, clean from the floor. CP3 getting involved late. Bridges had 21, including some big threes, 3 out of 6, 2 of those in the second half. Johnson, 2 in the second half. He had 3 threes. He was terrible, 3 of 11 from downtown. All of his shots were from downtown, but he hit 2 of them late in the fourth quarter, and he finished with 11. Payne had 11 off of the bench. And the Suns win it, and I had the Suns laying 2, and I was on Coast to Coast today at, you know, great length, arguing the fact that I thought the Suns would win the game and that the West is better than the East. Just that simple. My reasoning was the Suns played last night, tough game. It's not going to be easy. They're going to have to dig deep, but at the end of the day, the 5th-ranked team in the West, Carver High, is, you know, holding the second-best record in the league, but they're 5th or something like that. And I know that The bottom line is you know as well as I do, I said that now they've moved all the way up to second, right? So they were fifth. You remember when they were in the sense of not in the rankings, but fifth in the core of, you know, geniuses that said that the top teams in the West were the Lakers, the Clippers, the Jazz, the Nuggets, and then the Suns, right? So that they were the fifth ranked team of all the heavyweights. We welcome in our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio, Hoorah Soldier. So it's Pharrell on the bench with Carver High. And you remember when I was doing this on the air, like that they were the fifth rated, like power ranked team, if you will, in the West with all the, you know, know-it-alls, right?
That was the odds. They had the fifth best odds to win the Western Conference and go to the NBA Finals on FanDuel. Yeah, they were fifth.
Yeah, that makes more sense. But I was like, when I listen to all the geniuses on national television, they're all saying, literally, there's four teams in this that the Suns don't even exist. Meanwhile, they're second in the West, second best record in the NBA. And, I mean, you were doing the show with me today. It's that simple. I said the West better than the East. That's why I'm taking them. They're better. They're better than the Knicks.
I agree. The West has been better than the East for a while now. The depth is better, even from one all the way down to 12. They're better teams all around.
So anyway, we had people arguing with us about the East being better, and I just wasn't having it. I'm like, I don't know. Overall, I think there's good teams in the East. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, not think that Brooklyn, Philly, Milwaukee, and, all of them, New York, Atlanta, Boston, they're all solid. And then Miami in that 7, 8, 9, 10, I think Miami's solid. But overall, I mean, I'm just looking at really Brooklyn, Philly, Milwaukee, those three, right? Those are the three hardcore.
Those are the three that you would say right now in the East that have, you know, somewhat of a legitimate chance to win a title or get to the NBA Finals, right? There's nobody beyond those three. Like, I wouldn't put the Celtics or the Heat there yet. I know people want to. I wouldn't put the Celtics in the Heat with those three.
And let alone the Hawks or Knicks. But Utah, Phoenix, the Clippers, Denver, and the Lakers are all legit. I mean, that's just all there is to it. And the Suns got it done later this hour. Mitch Lawrence. So I just heard that report on the air about the affordable housing and golf courses and, you know, real estate development, also known as that they want to tear down, you know, golf courses and build apartments. That's what they want to do. So what they're doing is. But the thing that you don't hear about is the reality of the situation is, like, I've seen that in full motion where I live. I have there's this golf course that was just magnificent. It was three nines, right? They had like 3 9 hole courses on this property, this gigantic golf complex. And you know, I hadn't been over there in a long time or whatever, but I drove by there with my son, and I was like, what's going on here? And I noticed that the golf course was gone, and I looked, and they had all these condos there, right? And so I drove around a little bit, and because it's a gigantic thing, right? It's not just like one street. It's like a few. The golf course is huge. And it's, you know, three different courses, right? So figure an 18 plus the nine, right? So I drive around, and then as I get around the block and I cruise around a little bit, I notice that it's now in, I guess, a 18-hole course. They tore down one of the nines and they built the apartments. There was, you know, these three or four giant buildings of apartments. And but they're, you know, high end. They're like nice condos overlooking the 18-hole golf course. And then, you know, the lakes and the, you know, pretty golf course trees and everything else. So it's kind of like beautiful. And then I drove and I got around to the back end of it. And I noticed that it had turned into like a private country club. And so it used to be a public 3-9 holes. And then they turned it into a private country club with condos that you can live in on the golf course. So, affordable housing my ass. Okay. Here's what I saw. I saw public golf course goes away. Fancy, expensive $300,000-$400,000 condos go up on the golf course. And you get a, private golf club membership out of it. If you live there in the new like property, like it's like here, live here in these fancy condos and you get a membership to the golf club. That's what I saw. I saw the Affordable Housing Act in full swing where I live. And it's called, if you're rich, you can live here, but it's private. So we really don't want you. We're going to judge you. We're going to see if we want you to belong here and live here. And we're going to pick and choose who lives here. And if you don't have money, don't even think about living here because we're not having you. That's what I saw with the affordable housing, whatever that means. Affordable housing is when they put up apartments, cheap apartments where everyone could live that doesn't have a home, right? So where I live, they call that affordable housing. It's called rich people condos on a private golf club. And then there's religious ends to it, too, if you know what I'm saying. So you got to be a certain religion to be a member as well. You can't just be rich. You got to be rich. You got to be a certain religion and you got to be have tons of money. And then you're a member of the club and you get a golf and live in the fancy condos and go to the pool and everything else. And it's gated. And we don't want the riffraff around here. All right. You kind of know where I'm going with this.
We don't believe in rules. Like we gave them up when we started living like freaky beatniks.
Affordable housing. affordable for rich people on the private golf course. If you're a certain religion, I have to watch what I say so as to not offend different religions, because I know how religious everybody is when they, you know, go to church one day a year. You know,
sometimes phony people too.
Oh yeah, I forgot Easter, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But that's if you're that religion. And then the other religion is you don't belong here. You don't have our kind of money. What do you mean our kind of money? What do you mean you people? All I know is I drove by and the sign read, you are not welcome here. Welcome to certain people only at the country club.
It's not a lie if you believe it.
For rich, I see Haro doing a report about affordable housing on golf courses. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I'm sweating just thinking about it. I was like, I drove by, I was like with my son, I go, man, that is just such a, I remember when it was such a beautiful golf course. And then I drove around the corner, I'm like, what's going on here? I see that like tractor, they're digging a swimming pool. And then I drove another block. I see the country club estates. I'm like, wow, they turned it into a private country club. You can only live here if you're super rich. You're not getting in there past that guy with a sawed off shotgun at the gate. And I was just like, what a bunch of phonies.
You're honestly, talking to the Rolex wearing, diamond ring wearing, kiss stealing, woo, wheeling, dealing, limousine riding, jet flying, son of a gun, and I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down.
Did I tell you that, I think I did mention to you that Maybe I did. I think I did that. I'm going golfing with Haro on
you
Sunday.
You did mention, and I wanted to make sure to tell you. Make sure you get him a hot dog at the turn. All right, at the
I will.
Between 9 and 10. Make sure you get him a hot dog, since he's not only our sports business and legal reporter, he's also our sports business and hot dog insider. So we need
also, yeah. And just so you know, I thought I'd give you a little uppity on the story, because I'm going to a place where the hot dogs cost $25 at the turn.
Okay.
I'm going to a rich country club that's private, that they want no religions there. The only religion they know is the Ben Franklin religion.
Yeah. Cash. That's the name of their religion.
Money.
Cash.
Yeah, money only. You either have, you know, 200 grand to join, or you're not welcome. It's the you're not welcome country club.
Well, they got a deal. They give you a hot dog and a beer for $36.50. So you get a break.
The condiments are free. It's Gouldens spicy mustard with onions fried. Now, this place is so fancy that I swear to God, they deliver the food with a drone on the golf course. You call in and you're like, yo, can I get 4 hot dogs and 4 Budweisers? And they say, I'm sorry, sir, we only have Heineken. And then they deliver them on a drone. I'm not even blowing smoke. All I know is my buddy belongs to this place, and my stones are the size of Texas. So I figure I got Haro coming in. He goes, where do you want to play? And I was like, well, he said, do you want me to just get a tee time somewhere around your crib? I go, yeah, no. Why don't you just give me a couple hours and see what kind of trouble I can get into? And then I called a couple of my friends that are, you know, country club types. And I said to my buddy, I said, hey, are you playing golf Sunday? No. Do you want to play golf Sunday? Yeah. At your country club. And he said, sure. I said, we'll bring money and drugs. And you know, that means caddy money and, you know, whatever you call it, your greens fees, whatever. And I said, we'll all pay, because the place is so expensive. I'll tell you the rest of it when I come back. We got Mitch Lawrence coming up. All right, Pharrell and Events with Carver High. I actually, just to wrap this up, so I convinced my buddy. I said, I got 3 guys. We need a 4th, and we need to play at your fancy, you know, super ultra rich country club. So I'm inviting myself to golf at your country club. I said, we'll bring everything you need to have a good time, money and everything else. And he said, yes. So we're going there. Michael Jordan's a member. I mean, this place is swanky ass. You get a caddy, the whole deal. And like, meanwhile, we all suck. Haro's good, but I used to be a really good golfer back in the day when I played 6 days a week in California. But now that I live in New York City, I just as soon get hit by a cab than go golfing. And I just don't golf anymore. I play like 5-6 times a year. That's it. I don't care. I don't even care if I make a putt. I don't care what happens. But I am going there, and the place is high-end and fancy, and there's just tons of hot chicks there. I mean, it's just filthy. There's so much action. I mean, it's like a scene out of Caddyshack with hotties everywhere. Just they're climbing the walls. They're swinging from trees. Mitch Lawrence is our buddy from NBA Radio on Sirius XM, and he comes on a bench as often as possible to talk NBA rap. Hey, Mitch, how you doing, buddy?
Well, I just watched the Knicks lose for the first time in a while. I watched Chris Paul take over a game, and nobody's talking nearly enough about Chris Paul for the MVP, because that dude, do you see what he did down the last minute of that game?
Yeah.
Made 3 big shots. Phoenix has a chance to be number 1 in the West. He's missed 1 game this year. Don't tell me about Joel Embiid. He's missed a third of the season. Everybody's talking about this year. Everybody's talking about how this is a tough year. I mean, they have to play 4 games, you know, a week. So why are we going to give the MVP to a guy who's missed a third of the year when a guy like Jokic has played every game? Why don't we reward the guys like Jokic and Chris Paul who are actually showing up to work every day instead of a Joel Embiid? I don't get it.
I agree. I agree with that wholeheartedly, without a doubt, unequivocally. I'm with you 100%. I thought that circus shot he made in Randall's face was a prayer, but it went down. And then he came down.
All right.
Daggered a three in their face. And that's when the smack talk started. But look, I picked the Suns today. I bet on them. I laid the two, and I said on my TV show today, simple, Mitch, I said the West and the Suns are better than the East, and they're better than the Knicks.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a good way to look at it. Listen, they've already taken business with Utah. I think it's Utah last I checked was losing in the last seconds to Minnesota again. They're going nowhere without Donovan Mitchell. I mean, Phoenix, can you imagine if Phoenix gets the number one seed in the Western Conference? Now, going into the year, I thought Chris Paul was going to make a huge difference because Booker and Ayton, those guys have done nothing except for lose, right? They're young, talented guys who don't know about winning. I figured Chris Paul's going to teach them the ropes. I thought they might be sixth at best in the West. If they finish first, you got to be kidding me. You know, Chris Paul, if you look back at his MVP voting, he did so much better when he first came in the league. He actually, when he was 22 years old, he finished second to Kobe back in 2008. That's his best finish. He's had a couple of thirds, a fourth in that first 5 years in the league. He hasn't been heard from since. This is his compelling case as any for Chris Paul to be the MVP. I know all these people are like, he only averages 15 points a game. That's not the point. It's just like, who's made the biggest impact in New York basketball this season? Tom Thibodeau. And in Phoenix, and in the West, the guy who's also new to his team, who's made the biggest impact by far, is Chris Paul, because he's showing those guys ropes. Now, in the playoffs, what are they going to do? I don't know, because we've never seen Booker in a plate and an eight in the playoffs. And, you know, Chris Paul can talk all that he wants to about this is what's going to happen. You have to watch your possessions because, you know, everything gets magnified in the playoffs and turnovers. They're going to have to find out for themselves, as all players do. They think they know what it's all about. I see these comments from R.J. Barrett about, hey, these games are like a playoff atmosphere. He has no idea what the playoff atmosphere is. I'm not talking about a bubble playoff. I'm talking about outside the bubble in a real playoff season. These guys have no idea who have never been there. They're going to find out in Phoenix, and they might find out it might, you know, there'd be some hard lessons. But at least Chris Paul's there, and I think he's just been sensational this year. I know I'm sounding like his PR agent, but, I mean, the guy's been phenomenal.
Well, there's no doubt that he's the whole team, the way it runs through him. He has the ball. The offense goes through him.
Yeah.
He's always got it. Then he gives it to Booker. Booker does his thing. But there's a lot of guys that have taken their game to a whole new level on that team. Bridges. And I think, you know, you mentioned, obviously, Ayton, what his game's turned into. But guys like tonight, you know, Johnson hit two big threes in the
Cam
fourth.
Johnson.
Payne hit.
Yeah.
Payne yep. came off the yep. bench and had a double you know, figures. But let me ask you this.
You know what the thing about – I got to tell you this.
Hold on a second.
I
got to
tell you this.
Hold on one second. Let me ask you about what you said about R.J. Barrett before I forget, because I got early for Alzheimer's. So yeah. R.J. Barrett said these games are a playoff-like atmosphere. And you obviously said, you know, it'll help that he's never played in a playoff game before in his life. So – What do you think will happen to, you know, I think it'll help R.J. Barrett a great deal to just go no matter what and experience whatever seat they're in the four, five, whatever. It'll be good for guys like him in the Knicks.
Yeah, I'm just laughing at the fact that a guy who is in his second year in the league who has never been in the playoffs is trying to tell people this is a playoff atmosphere. Unless you've experienced the playoffs, you don't know what the playoffs are all about. He's going to find out. And I think it'll be a tremendous thing for the Knicks. It is a great year for the Knicks in terms of Tom Thibodeau setting the culture, right? That's what everybody talks about in this day. That's the big catchphrase, establishing culture, which he's done, making people accountable. They play basically a very good brand of basketball, not a lot of mistakes. They don't beat themselves defensively. They're in there. They're resilient. But in terms of getting this program off on a flying start for Tom, getting them to a playoffs in year one, and maybe getting first-round home court advantage in a 4-5 against Atlanta would be a huge deal. I mean, that'd still be a hell of a series. I mean, I don't even know who to pick there, because you've got Atlanta would have a lot of firepower, but they've got guys like Trae Young who have never been in the playoffs before. So, this would help the cause a lot for the Knicks and help for Tom getting his program up to the start that he wants, because – as he's trying to get the Knicks to be relevant again, you have to have a season like this to get your program going and to show prospective free agents there's a reason to come to play in New York, not just Madison Square Garden. It's because we're building something here where you can join us and help us win and take us to a different level. Now, the problem there, Pharrell, is who the hell's out there? I mean, Kawhi Leonard's the best free agent who's available. He's not coming to the Knicks. He's going to stay.
Right.
He's going to stay with the Clippers and stay with Paul George. You want to shell out a lot of money for Victor Oladipo, who's still out for Miami?
No.
I wouldn't do that.
No way.
The problem is, who's the next player to take the Knicks to the next level? Unless you're sold on Julius Randle. Here's my deal on Julius Randle. He's the most improved player. He's not the MVP. He's not an MVP player, but he's the most improved player the way he's played this year. But I still think the Knicks need a true superstar to get them into a situation where they can be competing against Brooklyn, competing against Philly. They don't have players like Kevin Durant, James Harden. That's their problem. And by the way, it was good to see Ben Simmons back on the court. I don't know what the hell's been wrong with him. It's good to see Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid playing on the court in Philly, because it looks like it's going to be a Philly-Brooklyn showdown in the East.
Do you think that, obviously you make a lot of sense with there are no superstars right now this year available to the Knicks, frankly.
No.
Why not go another year as it is and prove it again, and then you would automatically have proven for 2 years that you're a playoff team and a badass team and an organization that's created the culture, that's proven it, that has 2 years of run and 2 years of Tibbs and 2 years of these young studs coming into their own,
mm-hmm.
and now you get a position to get someone big to come in there. I think all this talk about them getting a big name after one season of this is a little crazy.
Plus, you know, everybody wants to tell you that, well, there might not be a guy who's a free agent, but maybe there's a disgruntled superstar. Like, if all of a sudden, let's say Karl Anthony Towns for some reason decides he doesn't want to be in Minnesota, and I don't know why he would want to leave Anthony Edwards and D'Angelo Russell, especially if they can win a little bit more. But let's just throw his name out there. He's a kid from Central New Jersey.
Jazz.
He obviously knows Thibodeau. He knows Leon Rose. Could it be a guy like that? You know, I don't know. We don't know. You know, there's always these guys. There's always guys like James Harden who want to leave their teams, right? That's the story of the NBA in a lot of ways. They force their way out. Could there be a player like that down the road? Yeah, there probably could be. That's the way it works. I don't know if Bradley Beal's that player, but, you know, somebody like that. But we'll see. But the important thing is that, listen, a couple of years ago, when Kyrie and Kevin Durant were going to be in free agents, they wouldn't even take a call from the Knicks. And what happened to the Knicks? They had to settle for Julius Randle. Julius Randle was their plan B, plan C, plan D. I mean, they really didn't have a plan. They were scrambling because they thought they were going to get Kyrie and Kevin Durant. And the Knicks were so far off the basketball map, those guys wouldn't even take their call. That's how far they had fallen. Now I think at least guys are going to take their call, right?
Yeah, I think so, and I think that, first of all, you talk about Cat. They did win that game over the Jazz 105-104. When we come back with Mitch, we're going to get into
Phoenix is right there.
What happened tonight. The bottom line is what happened tonight is the Suns shut Randle down. That's it. He's been averaging 30, and tonight he had 18,
yep.
And that was the end of it. I thought Rose had a huge game, 22. We'll break down how it happened and all the other games going on tonight. Bad loss for the Heat. The Bulls beat them. And I'm watching right now. The Kings are kicking Dallas's ass early in the second out at the Golden One. It's Pharrell on the Bench. We're talking to Mitch Lawrence of NBA Radio. All right, Pharrell on the Bench with Carver High. We're talking to Mitch Lawrence of NBA Radio, our partners on satellite. We're on 204. Of course, you can check out Mitch on NBA Radio. Do I need to do that now? All right. Thank you. All right. So, they held Randle to 18 tonight. I thought that was the difference in the game. I thought Rose had a really good game. When he doesn't have his 25 to 30 points, it seems to me, Mitch, that's one way to beat the Knicks for sure. Shut him down, and they got problems.
And also, you saw what Phoenix did at the offensive end. They just destroyed the Knicks. Knicks are a pretty good defensive team. Let's face it. They've been very good this year. And in the fourth quarter, they were all over. I mean, they made their threes. They hit a ton of threes. Chris Paul down the stretch couldn't miss. Look, they're on a different level than New York. That's obvious. I mean, they have a chance with Utah now losing two straight to Minnesota. By the way, without Donovan Mitchell, who also doesn't get any love for the MVP, and he should be in the running, Utah now can't beat teams like Minnesota. Phoenix has a legitimate shot. They've already got the head-to-head. They've already won two out of the matchups so far. They've got one game to go, so they're guaranteed the head-to-head. Phoenix could win the West, believe it or not. Now, the schedule's hellacious. They play a ton of road games down the stretch, so it may not happen, but I'm just telling you, Utah is a shaky, shaky team without Donovan Mitchell. And the big problem is, they lose their best offensive player, and a guy like Rudy Gobert, who makes $1 trillion, all he can do is defend. He can't give you any scoring. That's the problem. When you lose a guy like Donovan Mitchell and your second best player is Rudy Gobert will get you 9 points. He can't get you 29 points. That's the problem with that team. And that's going to catch up with them in the playoffs.
How long, though? I don't think Mitchell's going to be gone over 3 weeks.
Okay. Well, I don't know how long he's going to be gone. They've got now, they're 44-16, so they've got 12 games to go. And they've got, I don't know exactly
you're
when he's going to
right.
come back. But they definitely
you're probably
need
right. Him. You're right down the stretch. I'm talking about, okay, so they don't get the number one. Who cares? If they play in the – when he comes back, he'll be ready for the playoffs. And as they say in the south of France, that's all that matters.
LeBron, they don't care if he comes back.
They just want him for the playoffs.
Well, in terms of Utah, remember, the last time we saw Utah in a playoff series, they blew a 3-1 lead. Donovan Mitchell had a terrible Game 7 against Denver. He had 9 turnovers, including one in the last, 15 seconds of the game. So everybody who's thinking that Utah is all of a sudden going to roll through the playoffs, they've done nothing in the playoffs over the last few years. And last year, they choked. They choked away the first-round series. That was one of the two series where Denver came back from a 3-1 deficit. So, I don't know. I'm not going to expect a lot out of Utah in the playoffs just because they had a great regular season. To me, I still remember what happened in that bubble. On a neutral court, they couldn't put Denver away with a 3-1 lead. So there are no guarantees. I have a lot more. In some ways, I have more faith that Chris Paul getting the job done, getting Phoenix deeper in the playoffs than I do Utah.
Well, listen, let me ask you this question. While you're talking about teams that never get it done, we were talking on this show last week about Philadelphia. If you look at since 1983 when they won it, all they've done is fail. I mean, they lose every year. It's just every single year. One trip to the finals. And they lost.
One trip to the finals. With Ben Simmons and Embiid, they'd never gotten out of the second round, ever. That's why all these people who talk about, one of the reasons they're doing the play-in thing to keep interest because they want teams to prevent teams from tanking. Philadelphia was the poster child for the tanking, and those guys, they haven't raised any banners there. They haven't even been close. They haven't even gotten to an Eastern Conference Finals. This is the year they have to get to an Eastern Conference Finals. There's really no excuse. They should beat Milwaukee. They should take them out. They should play the Nets in the Eastern Conference Finals if the Nets get there. We'll see. We'll see how long Kevin Durant is able to stay on the court. I don't have a lot of faith in him. Do you? I mean, we'll see when James Harden comes back. The Nets, look, everybody, we all know the Nets look tremendous on paper, but let me ask you a question. If they go into the playoffs and those guys have only played 7 games together, to me, that is a sign of trouble because historically in the NBA, you have to play a lot of regular season games together, new guys, to get repetition, to get chemistry, to figure out what you can and can't do. And you when you have setbacks in a regular season with those three guys, that helps you figure things out in the playoffs. 7 games back in January is not going to be anything for that team.
Listen, fair enough, but I'll say this. It's real simple. In my opinion, I think you're right that it helps to have continuity and a flow, and you play games.
I guess, and
I think you're right. There has to be a rhythm and a timing issue. Fair enough. But at the same time, you're talking about 3 absolutely unguardable players that are such superstars. Right. They could play drunk and high and still light you up by 20. If those three are on the floor at the same time, which I doubt they can be on the floor at the same time. But if they are on the court for the same time, I have a hard time believing
they'll be beaten
4 times in a row.
First of all, they're going to be on the court at the same time. They're not going to always have one guy out. The problem for them is going to be the other end of the court. there'll be a playoff game where they could score 125 points and get beat. Their defense is awful. I mean, it's been better. They're middle of the pack. But DeAndre Jordan's not closing down anything in the lane. You know that. That's going to be their Achilles. There are two things that are going to be their problem. The fact they haven't played a lot of games together, and the fact that they aren't going to be able, if they play a very good offensive team, they're going to have trouble stopping them. That's going to be their problem.
Well, fair enough, but let me ask you this question. I mean, we've been, and I agree with you that that's clearly an issue. But at the same token, I have to say that, I mean, they've been playing without each other for 2 months now, and they're still winning, and they're still in first in the East.
Well,
and they found a way with a bunch of ragtag backups, Mitch. They're not winning with with one guy, with Kyrie Irving every night, but no one else. Yeah. Harden's been out. Durant's been out. Well, he's been winning with Harris, Claxton, Green, Shamet, and Brown.
And that second unit is
kicking ass.
Well, okay. And we're going to see what happens in the playoffs when they have to play. Okay, if after the first round, they'll play a quality opponent, you think, in the second round in the Eastern Conference Finals, and we'll see what they do at that point, where they won't be playing, you know, beating up on a bunch of nobodies or whatever. No, hey, I know that Kevin Durant is a top 10 offensive player in the history of the sport. I know James Harden could have won the MVP this year if he would have stayed healthy. I know Kyrie Irving is a tremendous offensive player. I know all that stuff. We all know all that stuff. That's not the issue. The issue is what happens when they play a Philadelphia deep in the playoffs when Philly's been playing great. Can they deal with Embiid? Can they deal with their defense? You know, that's going to be their issue. And when they get in tight games, what do they fall back on to say, yeah, we know we can get out of this situation, this jam here, because we've done it before. We'll see if they figure it out. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be moot anyway. If LeBron is fine and Anthony Davis doesn't go down to injury, the Nets won't beat them in the finals. They're not going to beat them because the Lakers will win because they've got LeBron and Anthony Davis, and now Drummond's the third best player.
Well, fair enough, but they got their own issues with their frail bodies.
Once LeBron's back, they'll be fine. Everything will turn around quickly, you'll see, because LeBron makes that kind of difference. I mean, look, he was on an MVP trajectory before he got hurt. It's not like he blew out a knee.
Let me get this straight.
He screwed up his ankle.
If you think
he and Anthony Davis aren't capable of winning the Western Conference, there's nobody in the Western Conference.
Of course they are. Of course they are. But here's my question. If you're telling me that they'll be fine, they got nothing to worry about, their injuries are fake.
Well, they have Anthony Davis to worry about.
No one, they'll never get injured again because they're so great. And then,
I didn't say that.
But no, wait. No. So you're telling me that I got to get this straight. So they're going to be fine, but Durant and Harden and Irving won't be all right because will they, if those three play together, and they're healthy and the Lakers are healthy because they have no problems, you still think the Lakers kick the Nets' ass?
I think the Lakers would beat the Nets in a series, but Anthony Davis, to me, has to prove he can stay healthy. He's the guy in the Lakers I have to worry about. Not LeBron, not Andre Drummond.
And Durant.
I'm talking about the Lakers.
I gotta worry
I'm just
about
talking about the
too.
Lakers. We'll get to the Nets.
I know, but I'm worried
that's
about
the
Durant
only person
too,
on the Lakers. And that's it. And look, both Durant and Anthony Davis have leg and big-time concerns about problems with their legs. And Anthony Davis has a low tolerance for playing. We know that. And LeBron knows that. And if he's healthy, I don't think they're the best 1-2 punch in the NBA, and they're coming off a title. Why would I pick against LeBron James?
Well, I see that, but what I'm talking about here is that it's like that they both, I know they missed all this time, both of them, and then I know that Durant missed all this time, and Harden missed all this time, and Kyrie goes on a vacation every other week. And so I want to know who's going to be on the floor when it all goes down. Now, I don't doubt anything you're saying about the Lakers, that they even if they're the 5 or the 6, they're still going to kick everyone's ass. I get all that. But I don't think, frankly, it's the same scenario with the Nets, that they're going to be so easy to beat. And let me throw this at you. The Philadelphia you keep talking about.
I don't think they're going to be easy to beat. I didn't say that. But I think bigger problems. Go ahead.
Okay, so let me ask you. I'm talking about Philadelphia now. Let's stop talking about the Nets. The Nets, let's just leave them. Because the Nets suck so bad. That's why they're the number one in the East, because they suck so bad. But let me say this. Their backups have been winning for months. They're the number one because they suck so bad. But let's talk about who really sucks is that Philadelphia team you keep talking about. I think the Bucks can beat them because I think Holiday is 10 times better than Bledsoe, and he's made a huge difference on a team that doesn't even try to win games anymore. That's how little they care about the meaningless regular season. I think the Bucks, when they want to play with Holiday, can beat Philadelphia. Everybody else beats them.
Right,
Boston beats them.
I don't have a lot of. I'll tell you what. I don't have a lot of faith in the Bucks. I just don't.
What about the Celtics? They beat the Sixers. They beat the Sixers every time they play them.
I watch the Celtics now. They're garbage.
They were garbage last year. They beat them. Listen,
I think the Sixers are better than the Celtics.
And they lose to them.
That's the way I look at it. I think Philadelphia is a very good team, but they've got flaws too. And their biggest flaw is Joel Embiid. He doesn't play. There are times he doesn't play. He's not reliable. You know, it's all about it's all about availability. And he and Ben Simmons are out a lot, and we'll see what they do in the playoffs.
So how did last year, explain this to me, how did last year even, let's just say last year in a bubble, how did those teams like Miami?
In a bubble.
And so what? If they're, I don't care if they're playing a bubble, if they play out in Rucker Park, Boston win games? How did they win games? Because they suck so bad.
I'll tell you how Miami won games. Jimmy Butler raised his level, and they had a couple of young guys play out of their minds because they never had to play road games. Duncan Robinson and Tyler Herro.
And they took out all the best teams.
Yeah, they did it in a bubble. Out. It's not a regular It wasn't a regular playoff season. If you think that's
a
regular
playoff season,
come on. Jamal Murray had 250 point. Jamal Murray had 250 point road wins, quote unquote road wins of Utah. Both games were in a neutral gym in Florida. That ain't the NBA playoffs like we know and love them. We'll see how many fans were in the building this time around.
I feel like you're talking to me like they played on a half court at the Y.
They
didn't play a
real game. They did. They played in your backyard.
Great stuff. I love it. Great stuff, Mitch. I love you. You're awesome. I always love getting into it with you on basketball. You're the best. We'll talk to you soon. Mitch Lawrence from NBA Radio. Former unified heavyweight world champion Anthony the Destroyer Ruiz Jr. will battle all-action heavyweight Chris the Nightmare Arreola in the main event of an all-Mexican boxing extravaganza this Saturday night, May 1st, headlining a Fox Sports PBC pay-per-view from the Dignity Health Sports Park in Carson, California. I think that's the, remember it used to be the Home Depot Center and all that, Carver High? It's the soccer stadium in Carson where it's changed names 15 times, but that's where the fight is.
Where the Chargers played for a couple of years before SoFi was
there. Right. That was the Packers home away from home.
That was everybody's home away from home.
Yeah, that's the Steelers practice facility. Anyway, the pay-per-view begins at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, with an undercard stacked from top to bottom with fan-friendly, action-packed matchups. How about Omar Pantarita Figueroa Jr. clashing with Abel Ramos, Sebastian the Towering Inferno, Fandora, what a name, against Jorge El Demonio Cota in a 12-rounder, and Jesus Ramos Jr., the nephew of Abel Ramos, outduels, hopefully for his sake, Javier El Intocable Molina in a 10-rounder. It's all happening Saturday night in Carson, Cali, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific on pay-per-view. Call your cable operator. How about that? Andy Ruiz Jr., the former heavyweight champ after he beat Anthony Joshua and then lost to Joshua the belts. Now back. He's lost a bunch of weight, taking on Chris the Nightmare Arreola this Saturday night. So we got another hour to go. We'll blow off some steam. I'm going to react to what Mitch said, at the very least. Carver High said he's very confused about what Mitch was saying. Very confused. He feels like stoned over the whole thing. He can barely keep his eyes open.
Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything. And seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.